The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Get a complimentary copy of Dave's book and a complimentary consultation. Call 877-GAINS-4U or mortashfinancial.com.
If we look to the answer as to why for so many years we achieved so much, prospered as no other people on earth, it was because here in this land, we unleashed the energy and individual genius of man to a greater extent than has ever been done before. Those who say that we're in a time when there are no heroes, they just don't know where to look. The sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David, they add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. As for the enemies of freedom, those who are potential adversaries, they will be reminded that peace is the highest aspiration of the American people. We will negotiate for it, sacrifice for it. We will not surrender for it now or ever. We are Americans.
Welcome to Always Right Radio with Bob Frantz on AM 1420, The Answer.
Welcome indeed. It is Always Right Radio. It is 8 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock. It is a Thursday. It is the seventh morning of the third month in the year of our Lord 2024. And it is the day that we get to watch a mummified corpse be wheeled up to a podium on a Hannibal Lecter style two-wheel dolly, propped up there, pumped full of drugs, and made to pretend he's still living. That is what we will see tonight. Welcome. I appreciate you joining us this morning on AM 1420, The Answer. I'm sorry for the graphic image there, if you will, but that's kind of what it is, right? You know how many people have asked me in the last 12 hours, well, 24, I'm going back to party yesterday, have asked me what kind of drugs they'll probably give him tonight? I jokingly said to, not jokingly, I think I said it to Jim Jordan. I said, B12, you know, B12 shots give instant energy. It's quick, you know, pick me up. I don't even know the science behind it because I'm not a scientist, although I do know what a woman is, Ketanji. But they'll give him a B12 shot. They'll give him, you know, probably pump him full of Monster or Red Bull or some sort of caffeine powders or something like that and a cup of coffee to really, really make him alert and make him seem what he isn't in reality. And that is, like I said, to make it, you know, to be a little bit more dramatic about it, alive, to make him look like he's alive and not asleep or dying or in unable to function, unable to communicate, unable to speak clearly, unable to remember what he was just talking about, sentences, finish complete thoughts, read coherently from the teleprompter the speech that has been written for him. I mean, honestly, what are they going to do? They're going to drug him up. They're going to prop him up, and they're going to hope he can make it through the full, 40 minutes? What's an average State of the Union speech? I think Trump's got well over an hour, maybe up toward an hour and a half, sometimes 75 toward 90 minutes. Obama was pretty, you know, out there. This will probably be a shorter version. Maybe a 30, 35, 40 minute speech, maybe 45 on the high end, but it'll be very, very interesting. The good news is I've got an event tonight and I'm not going to watch it. No, I kind of jokingly thanked Biden for having this on a Thursday because I happen to be also off tomorrow. Our friend Rob Walgate is going to be back into the studio tomorrow, but I'm going to be off tomorrow for bringing America back to life. And so that means I won't be able to analyze this speech for you tonight or tomorrow. So I don't have to watch it tonight. I can watch the highlights of it or the lowlights or the stumbles or the stammers or the yammers or the lies and everything else that comes along with it. And that's what I intend to do. But it will be an interesting watch. For whether you watch it live or for, you know, people in my situation to watch it on tape delay. It'll be very interesting to see how much they give him and how alert he sounds. And by the way, when they do, I want you to remember, well, I want you to remember this. I want you to remember the truth. Speaker Mike Johnson has put out a video, a kind of a pre-State of the Union ad. You know, I could call it a, you know, a pre-game ad, if you will. He has put this out. It's 90 seconds long, and it has been released on social media, and it is going viral, and I want to make it more viral. I just put it on my Facebook page with the instructions, share this, share this, share this, share this, share this. I put it on my Twitter page, share this, share this, share this. And if you're not following me on either one of those places yet, please do so. I'm at Always Right Radio on Facebook and France Rants on Twitter. I got to put it on Truth Social, too. I don't log into Truth Social nearly enough. But at any rate, Speaker Johnson wanted to kind of put out a first strike type of ad, if you will, just to let everybody know that everything you're about to hear tonight from Joseph Biden is going to be a lie, because this is the real State of the Union.
My report is this. The State of the Union is strong. You should come. Surge to the border.
Migrants surge across from Mexico.
Pushing resources to the limit.
Some of those spot part of the terror watch list.
Every state is a border state. Every city is a border city.
Sharp rise in the amount of drugs.
8,500 pounds of fentanyl.
Cartel controls everything that happens here.
America is at a breaking point.
Joe Biden is touting Bidenomics.
Bidenomics is working.
78% of voters view the economy negatively.
And that the president is to blame.
We're changing people's lives.
Unrelenting price increases.
Sticker shock is hitting millions of Americans hard.
The highest economic growth in 40 years.
The highest inflation rate, Mr. President, in 40 years.
I got that.
Crime is dominating the headlines.
Surge of violent smash and grab robberies.
24% more murders.
The buck stops with me.
The Middle East in flames. Israel has formally declared war.
The Taliban has returned to power.
Embassy shuttered. The flag coming down.
Vladimir Putin doesn't fear this president.
Xi Jinping told President Biden China will reunify with Taiwan.
Weakness invites aggression.
Appeasement has failed.
It's open season on America.
The country has soured on Joe Biden.
The most vacation days taken by a president.
The White House in damage control.
Where is the president? Why isn't he communicating?
So that is the 90-second video put out by the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. And I will tell you, the video is much, much better than the audio. You only got the audio because we are only radio. But please find the video. You can find it on my Facebook page, like I said, and on my Twitter page, Always Right Radio or France Rants, and share that with everybody. The video is damning because there's all kinds of information on it that obviously goes along with the audio. It buttresses it, and you're going to want to share that, because the lies that we are about to hear tonight are going to be legendary. What kinds of lies are we talking about? The kinds of lies that are most important to the American people, meaning he's going to tell lies about the things that we care most about, including and especially illegal immigration. It is wrecking this country, as we always knew it would. As they always knew it would. They being Democrats, they have always known that this is something that cannot last, that cannot be allowed to continue. They have said this. Their policies have been different than their rhetoric, but the rhetoric has been strong. They know full well that this cannot be something that is sustainable, or is not something that is sustainable. And that's why countless times, and I've played these audio clips before you, dozens of times, of Bill Clinton, of Barack Obama, and yes, Joe Biden, before he became President Joe Biden, all talking about the same thing, that this is something that simply cannot be allowed to continue because we will not have a country left. Well, that's what it has continued. And Joe Biden is being encouraged by his leftist supporters to acknowledge that it is bad now, own some of it from the standpoint of admitting it's a crisis, and then blame Republicans for it. That's what I mean when I say the lies coming from that podium tonight will be legendary. And they will be encouraged by, like I said, his supporters. This is one of CNN's flunkies. Her last name is Alford. Her first name is not important enough for me to look it up, to be 100% honest with you. But here's her advice on CNN for Joe Biden tonight.
President Biden has to take back the narrative that he has been inactive around this issue. It is a really complex issue. And when Donald Trump says things like mass deportation, that's very clear and easy to understand. That may resonate with certain people who are afraid about what the broken immigration system represents in terms of scarcity of resources, what their opportunities will be in America. That's a little bit different than saying, hey, I need more judges. I need more resources at the border. That's something that doesn't resonate emotionally. So he has to make it clear that he understands this is a problem. He's not sticking his head in the sand on it, and that he has solutions. But the reason those solutions haven't moved forward is because Donald Trump is encouraging people to play politics rather than do something immediately about the border.
There it is. There it is. Did you hear it? He has to acknowledge that it's a problem, that he's not hiding his head in the sand. He knows it's an issue, and I've got the answers to it, but Republicans won't let me do it because Donald Trump won't let the Republicans in the Congress do anything about it. They are encouraging him to go up there and do what Karine Jean-Pierre does for a living. Lie. Just go up there and say it's the Republicans' fault. Never mind the fact that the border was under control when Donald Trump left office and Joe Biden came into office. Never mind that. Never mind the fact that we have had 7.3 million, and this was as of 2 weeks ago that they counted, known encounters at the border in 2023. So I guess that is from fiscal 2023. So we are at a new count now. But point being, those are the known ones. The gotaways are roughly 2 million more. So we're looking at 9.5 million. We're looking at closer. We're just going to say 10 million, and I think we are on track for 12 million by the time Biden's term is over at the end of this year. So what are we talking about? We're talking about a conscious decision that Joe Biden made to make sure that the border was opened in spite of all of his and his fellow Democrats' pledges previously to make sure that the border is brought under control, because we all know how dangerous it is. I mean, I play these for you on a fairly regular basis, but I feel like I can't play them enough. Let me just give you a brief taste again of what we're talking about when I say that the Democrats, including Joe Biden, before he became President Biden and was owned wholly by the globalists who want the United States to be an open borders nation. But listen to Joe Biden himself and listen to other Democrat leaders about this in the past.
No great nation can be in a position where they can't control their borders. It matters how you control your borders, not just for immigration, but it matters for drugs, terror, a whole range of other things.
You recognize the difference in his voice, by the way, from then to now? I mean, he sounded clear and coherent then. Now he will stammer through that and slur through that and eventually lose his place and say, well, anyway. You notice the difference between them? But anyway, that was Biden prior to him becoming president.
When I took office, I committed to fixing this broken immigration system. And I began by doing what I could to secure our borders. Even as we are a nation of immigrants, we're also a nation of laws. Undocumented workers broke our immigration laws. And I believe that they must be held accountable, especially those who may be dangerous. If you're a criminal, you'll be deported. If you plan to enter the U.S. illegally, your chances of getting caught and sent back just went up.
All Americans, not only in the states most heavily affected, but in every place in this country, are rightly disturbed by the large numbers of illegal aliens entering our country. The jobs they hold might otherwise be held by citizens or legal immigrants. The public service they use impose burdens on our taxpayers. That's why our administration has moved aggressively to secure our borders more, by hiring a record number of new border guards, by deporting twice as many criminal aliens as ever before, by cracking down on illegal hiring, by barring welfare benefits to illegal aliens. In the budget I will present to you, we will try to do more to speed the deportation of illegal aliens who are arrested for crimes, to better identify illegal aliens in the workplace.
Not fair to Americans. So you have to hold employers responsible in this measure here. Hold them responsible that they have to hire Americans first. Only if there's no Americans available for the job should we be promoting the idea of bringing in extra workers.
So I'll stop it there for now just because we have to make some other important points here. But you get this. He has literally done the opposite of what all of those pledges were during his first 3 years. Not just literally, but as I said, consciously and intentionally. It isn't as if he turned his back to focus on something as important as, I don't know, killing fossil fuels, abolishing police, turning more criminals loose, promoting foreign wars, sending money to Zelensky. It's not like he turned his back, and while he was distracted by other great work, behind him, a whole bunch of people snuck over the border. What the heck was that all about? We didn't expect that. No. He went down and recruited in foreign countries saying, come to our country, come to our border. He literally went on a recruiting trip when he was vice president. And now that he is the president, he has, and you know this, on day number two, on January 21st, 2021, Joe Biden began to systematically revoke not one, not two, not 10, not 20, not 50, not 70, but 94 different Trump orders that were intended to secure and provide security at the border. He undid that with the stroke of his executive pen. And now he wants you to believe, and he's going to lie to you tonight and tell you, he's going to lie to you and tell you that there's nothing he can do, and it's Republicans have to act. Republicans are the ones who stopped in the House. Mike Johnson and the Republicans would not take up the bipartisan measure that passed in the Senate to secure our border. And we've covered this up one side and down the other. I won't go into all of the details about that, but it does not secure the border. It was a slush fund for the Zelensky and the Taiwan and the Gaza money and everything else to get out. And, oh, by the way, we're going to allow another minimum of $2 million per year. And, by the way, that was $1.825 million per year at $5,000 a week. But listen, the reality here is, though, that Joe Biden has long wanted this to happen despite past rhetoric.
We could afford to take in a heartbeat another 2 million people. The idea that a country of 330 million people cannot absorb people who are in desperate need and who are justifiably fleeing oppression is absolutely bizarre.
That was in August of 2020, just 2 months before, 3 months before the election, before he stole the election with the assistance of a whole lot of other people. But he was literally at a town hall meeting there looking at people and leaning over and doing his weird, creepy Biden whisper. You know, the idea that we can't take in 2 million more people. But the problem is, of course, he has taken in 10 million more people, which begs the question, who are these people? Oh, I get it. These are just poor asylum seekers fleeing a country of oppression and looking for an opportunity to save their own lives and those of their families. But the problem is that the U.S. Customs and Border Protection is coming out now and revealing the truth, or one of the problems, revealing the truth. Joe Biden wasn't going to wait for them to come to this country and to come to the border seeking asylum. He went out and got them. He went out and flew them in. Customs and Border Protection released this earlier this week. The facts around a program to bring 300 plus thousand illegal immigrants from Latin American countries waiting at Latin American airports to 43 different U.S. cities. In other words, again, when I said conscious before, it wasn't as if he turned his back and things happened and he was slow to react. He went out and recruited them then went out and picked them up, then brought them here, and no one was supposed to know about it. The program at the center of the FOIA litigation, all of this was uncovered this week by a FOIA report, or a FOIA request, I should say. It's Freedom of Information Act. The program at the center of the FOIA litigation is the most enigmatic and least known of the Biden administration's uses of the CBP-1 cell phone scheduling app. You probably know about this. We've talked about it, too. Even though it is responsible for almost invisibly importing by air 320,000 illegal aliens with no right to enter the United States. None. Since that program got underway in late 2022. Under these legally dubious parole programs, aliens who cannot legally enter the United States use the CBP-1 phone app created by the Biden administration in 2022 to apply for travel authorization and, quote, temporary humanitarian release, end quote, from those airports in Latin American countries. The program allows for two-year periods of legal status during which the adults are eligible to work for work authorization. This is a direct treasonous act. I'm sorry that it sounds so harsh, but this is a direct treasonous act, because if you are relying on a phone app and somebody just getting it, downloading it, uploading information that is not verifiable, and that you don't think that some of these people who are coming in might be threats to the country, that is straight up, well, it's two things. It's ignorant. And that's one. And then two, it's treasonous, because it is potentially, oh my gosh, is it really 928 already? I apologize for this. I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. I'm going to give you this one last line, which is also very, very important.
How likely is it that a terrorist or a terrorist cell could or has already slipped in through the U.S. southern border?
Even the Homeland Security people have acknowledged that there's a lot of people on the terror watch lists that have been later apprehended or sneaked through. So it's a statistical guarantee that terrorists have come across the southern border. I think that's one of the reasons the Biden administration has been so pathetic in responding to now hundreds of Iranian attacks against U.S. personnel, against U.S. ships, by the Houthis or even by other Iranian proxies.
That's a former U.S. Navy SEAL, officer Eric Prince, who said it is a statistical guarantee that terrorists have been brought into this country across the southern border. None of this is going to be touched tonight by the State of the Union address, which is why you need to go into this tonight, if you're going to watch it, ready for the lies and ready to know the truth. I'm going to give as much of it to you as I can today, and I will welcome your phone calls as well. 216-901-0940.
Thank you for finally noticing.
Waking up America from its woke slumber. Always Right Radio with Bob France on The Answer.
Okay, it is 9:35. Thanks for being with us this morning. I do have phone lines open for you right now if you want to get in and talk about the State of the Union tonight, if you have some predictions you would like to make, if you have some comments you want to make about what you expect to see. But I do have a ton of other information before we get to our guests. Coming up at 10:10, Dr. Everett Piper, as we do each and every Thursday. And then also we're going to talk to our friend Dan Messina. That'll be at 10:35. So we've got guests in the second hour only. We are free now and in hour number three for you to be a part. 216-901-0945 and 888-281-1110. So State of the Union tonight, and, there's no chance Joe Biden will address any of the realities of the border situation, nor will he address the realities of Bidenomics and inflation. The two biggest issues, according to every American voter, will be ignored. Well, let me rephrase. They will not be addressed in a truthful manner. You will be told that the Republicans are responsible for the illegal immigration crisis, and you will be told that Trump is responsible for any inflation because he gave tax breaks to corporations, and corporate greed is what is driving and is making record profits. Things don't have to be this way. Bidenomics has worked, and it is only corporate America, the elites, that are trying to raise prices and so forth. So you're not going to see any of this addressed by Joe Biden in an honest way, it's interesting that there is going to be a president who is going to try to bring the truth to the table. Donald J. Trump has announced he will be live truthing the entire speech tonight. a lot of people, like I've done this in the past during some of Obama's State of the Union addresses. I've done live tweets, meaning like everything they say, you know, you can get a chance to respond to and say, that's not true. Here's why, you know, you can put a link and blah, blah, blah. And a lot of reporters and a lot of really popular online bloggers and journalists and so forth will live tweet responses to State of the Union addresses. So this is the first time, however, I believe that a former president will be live tweeting. But again, it's for President Trump. We call it truthing because he won't do it on Twitter. He'll do it on Truth Social, his own platform. But Trump says he will live truth the entire State of the Union address tonight, bringing the facts and the truth to the lies that that Biden is going to tell. I'm really curious to see if it is actually President Trump or if it is. I'm sorry, I'm just being told that somebody yelled at Seth about the Pledge of Allegiance. We didn't do our Pledge of Allegiance yet. Seth, you really got yelled at?
Yes, he was not a happy camper with me about the fact that we have not played the pledge.
And it's your fault.
It's my fault.
Well, it kind of is your fault. You should be reminding me of these things.
Well, I did.
What's the matter with you?
I said, do you want to do the pledge after the news?
Yeah.
Maybe I don't think my mic was on when I told you that, though.
Yeah, that's true, because I didn't know that. And secondly, you should have reminded me before we came on the air. Don't forget to start with the pledge.
It was my fault.
I mean, unless it was Mary Ann's.
And it could have been.
It could have been Mary Ann's.
I'll take the fall on this one.
No, I came in fired up, ready to go today with the information and stuff that we need to know about. You know what I got fired up by is Mike Johnson's video. I saw that about an hour before the show today, and I knew I wanted to start with that and play it in the early going, and it distracted me from my responsibility to do our Pledge of Allegiance. So I will take ownership for forgetting, but I will pass the buck on to Seth because he's supposed to remind me of the things that I forget. That's kind of the way it goes. All right. You don't have to yell at Seth, though, by the way. You know something else that I would just like to say? You don't have to do it with everybody else. I mean, if it really, really, really is important to you, you can stand and pledge allegiance to a flag that you may have in front of you at any time of the day, whether I'm on the radio or not. Just saying. I love doing it together. It's why I've been doing it. I don't know how many years I've been doing the pledge. In 10 years, I've been with Salem. I think I've been doing the pledge for probably at least half of them, at least the last 5 years. We've been doing this every single morning. But you don't have to wait for me, you know. I mean, if it really is going to make you yell at Seth. But, okay, your message is received. I'll come back to Trump live truthing the State of the Union address here in a moment. Let's go ahead and pause. Stand, patriots. Face your flag. Don't yell at Seth. Put your hand on your heart and join us for this. If you are going to be a believer in just about anything you hear from that radical, America-destroying, open-borders globalist who's giving an address tonight, then you don't believe in what this country stands for anyway, so you are exempt from the request to pledge allegiance to it. You may instead take a knee like a good little Marxist. For those of us who actually believe, however,
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Now I'm getting attacked over it. Now I'm getting messages here saying, from people who are good, strong friends, listeners, allies, and supporters, and co-workers with organizations that I work with. Dan, who just said it's sad that you got to be reminded of it. Wow.
In fairness, you have done it for the past 5 years, so you said.
Yeah.
And so that should be on top of mind, I guess.
Well, except that it's never on top of mind. It's a reflex. It's muscle memory at this point, because what's top of mind is my preparation for the show. Right. It's the topics I'm starting with, the audio clips I'm organizing, the headlines that I want to read from, the specifics and so forth. So it's prepping the show. And the pledge part of it is just like, you know, like I said, it's part of the routine. It's kind of like brushing your teeth in the morning. Have you ever walked out of the house and I'm like, dang, I forgot to brush my teeth today? Yeah, you do, because it's not something you actively think about. It's just a routine. The pledge is a routine, and I get distracted from the routine by some really, really important stuff that I wanted to get out there about this State of the Union tonight. So yeah, Dan, thanks for the message of support. And I say jokingly, By all means, we do intend to do the pledge every single day, and it's not an accident. It is something that we believe in. But yeah, sometimes the morning slips away from you. Okay, now, where was I? Trump, truth socialing, or truthing, rather, live truthing, the Biden State of the Union address. I want to tie that to Trump's challenge yesterday. President Trump threw down the gauntlet and demanded a debate with Joe Biden. It is important, Trump wrote, for the good of our country that Joe Biden and I debate issues that are so vital to America and the American people. Therefore, I am calling for debates, capital letters now, anytime, anywhere, any place. The debates can be run by the corrupt DNC or their subsidiary, the Commission on Presidential Debates. I look forward to it. That was brilliant, by the way, because it's true. That is exactly what the Committee on Presidential Debates is. I look forward to receiving a response. Thank you for your attention to this matter. So Trump just threw down a challenge. Let's debate. So reporters yesterday, talking to the Black and Gay press secretary, did you know she was a Black and Gay press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre? It's important that you know that. They wanted you to know that. I don't think it matters what color she is, and I certainly don't give a rip who she goes home and lays in bed with, but they wanted you to know that she's Black and Gay, and that's something that we should acknowledge. So we acknowledge it anytime we talk about her. But the Black and Gay press secretary stood there yesterday and was asked about this, and she could not and would not answer it. She refused to answer whether or not Joe Biden would be willing to debate Donald Trump. She kept referring the question to the campaign, to the campaign, to the campaign, to the campaign. You know, Peter Ducey said, 4 years ago, he said he'd be willing to debate. He said, let's schedule the debates whenever, to anytime, anywhere. And now it's being challenged by President Trump, and President Biden is not responding. Why is that? They refuse to respond except to issue this tweet in response. Quote, I know Donald Trump's thirsty for attention and struggling to expand his appeal beyond the MAGA base. Can we pause right there? He's kicking your royal, old, wrinkled, Skeletor-looking ace in every battleground state and in the national polls, including the ones run by the most liberal organizations that are probably push-polling to make you look good. You're getting destroyed, but yet you're going to say he's struggling to expand his appeal? Your approval rating is in the low to mid-30s. Your approval rating on handling the economy is lower than that. Your approval rating on handling the immigration crisis is lower than that. You're saying that Trump is struggling and needs attention? Nobody needs attention like this guy does. But it says, that's a conversation we'll have at the appropriate time in this cycle. In other words, we're pushing that down the road because there's no way in hell we want to commit to a debate. There's no way he can possibly commit to a debate. He then went on to say, this is the communications director, Michael Tyler, but if he's so desperate to see President Biden in prime time, he doesn't have to wait. He can join the tens of millions of Americans who will tune in tonight to watch the State of the Union. He might even learn a thing or two about bringing people together and actually delivering for the American people. Well, a few responses there. One, it's true. Biden has indeed delivered for the American people. He has delivered them higher gas prices. He's delivered them higher grocery prices. He's delivered them higher mortgage rates. He has delivered them higher car payments. He has delivered them higher rates of crime to their communities. He has delivered them illegal immigrants taking up their rec centers all over the country, taking up their veterans shelters, taking up spaces in airports, taking up spots in school, taking up spots in health centers, hospitals, emergency rooms, taking up their resources when it comes to food and clothing, taking up spaces in the hotels. He has delivered all of those things to the American people. You're right about that. He has delivered. But as far as bringing people together, isn't this the same man who held a massive primetime press conference with satanic red and black backdrops, thundering away, calling half of the American population threats to democracy? That guy is the one that you're saying is bringing people together? Okay. That's an interesting way to describe all of that. But my most important response here is going to be to the one where President Trump is calling for the debates. He's, of course, right to do so. Debates typically last 90 minutes. Do you think that that 81-year-old walking skeleton, no, shuffling skeleton, is going to be able to stand at that podium and remain coherent no matter how many shots? He can do it for maybe 35, 40 minutes tonight in a State of the Union address. He might even go 45. Because they'll pump him full of all kinds of things to make sure that he can. But number one, he's going to be reading a pre-written speech that he has already read many, many times as they prep for this thing. He actually posted something on Twitter yesterday of preparing for State of the Union, get ready. And it's a picture of him reading the first page of the speech that's been written for him. It's really kind of funny. The responses to it, by the way, the meme responses are hysterical. But this is reading from a teleprompter, a pre-written and pre-read speech that he's going to be able to handle. A debate is going to be answering questions and, moreover, answering challenges from Trump. You think he wants any part of that? No, he doesn't want any part of that. But here's my question slash concern. I worry that a debate between Donald Trump, and tell me if I'm crazy, but I worry that a debate between Skeletor and Donald Trump will devolve into kind of like the, the big, tough, popular jock kicking sand in the face of the 98-pound weakling. Remember those little cartoons when you were younger? I worry about the optics of Donald Trump standing there and bullying this frail, weak, slow, cognitively declining, memory-deprived man, and making him look sympathetic in the process. Let me explain further. Why is Joe Biden not being prosecuted for his myriad crimes of as investigated by Robert Hur, special counsel Robert Hur, for keeping documents he had no rights to keep from his time as a senator, from his time as a vice president, where he never was able to declassify something and then retain it on his own? Why is it that Joe Biden has not been charged? Remember this? Robert Hur came out there about a month ago and laid it all out and said he willfully took documents, willfully stored them in some, 10 different places, and many of them in really, really unsafe places, and he shared them. Classified documents that are meant for eyes only, top secret documents in some cases, he shared with his ghostwriter so he could write his memoirs for him. Robert Hur said all of these things happened willfully, synonymous with intentionally, synonymous with criminally. He did this. But we're not bringing charges against him because he's an old, frail man who would be sympathetic to a jury, and we would be unlikely to get a conviction, even if the evidence was there. The jury would feel bad for him because he's an old, memory-challenged, almost non-communicative man. So my point here is that in a debate, wouldn't that be kind of the same problem? If Trump gets into a debate and goes for the jugular and just beats this weakling, this 81-year-old frail man who ought to be using a walker by now, his gait and his pace of walking, it would be like knocking over, a guy on crutches. It would be like walking up to Seth and kicking his prosthetic leg out from underneath him to make him fall. People would say, what are you doing that for? The guy's obviously in a bad spot here. It's a little bit difficult for him to regain his balance if you kick his leg out like maybe you could do. What are you doing knocking that man on crutches over for? Have you no sympathy at all? If Donald Trump went in at a debate setting and went for the jugular, that's what would happen. And there would be probably a lot of sympathetic people who may not like Biden, but it might be like, man, that's wrong what he's doing to that guy. And he might actually lose support for such a thing. So I love Trump's challenge. I want there to be debates. I want Joe Biden to accept it. I know he will not. I worry whether or not losing the debate won't help Joe Biden, however, when that time comes. Because Trump will come off looking like the bully who's beating up on a defenseless person. You don't pick on handicapped people, right? You don't pick on the disabled. You don't pick on people who are unable to defend themselves. And if you do, you don't do it, you know, with mean-spirited things. You don't call names, and you don't do the things that President Trump is known for doing, particularly on debate stages. I wonder if it wouldn't be more harmful than helpful. So, will there be presidential debates this summer? That's a coin flip. Biden didn't want to debate RFK Jr. They wouldn't even let RFK Jr. run against him as a Democrat. They made him go run as a, even though he is a Democrat, run as an independent, because they didn't want to put RFK on a debate stage with Biden. It would be torturous for Biden. Trump didn't want to debate anybody in the Republican primaries because he felt like he was above all of that. And as it turns out, based on the results of the primaries, he was right. He didn't need it, so he didn't do it. So neither one of them, you know, needed debates to get where they are. And I am really, really confident, moderately confident, that there will not be debates this time around. And it may not necessarily be a terrible thing. If President Trump pledged, and is not to the people any like one of those pledges, but if President Trump was disciplined enough to say, I'm going to go up there and I'm going to smile and I'm going to speak with unifying terms and I'm going to speak with a genteel nature and I'm not going to beat that old crippled guy across the stage from me. I'm not going to beat him up with his own walker. If he pledged to do that, he could clinch the election in a blink. In a blink. Because people want to move on from Biden. They desperately do. But many of the moderates who listen to the cable news, you know, on MSNBC and CNN and read the newspapers and all of the left-wing media, those who despise Donald Trump for his temperament, for his, you know, his attitude, and his mouth, and those kinds of things, they're not going to be impressed by him beating up on Joe Biden. They will be impressed if he actually shows some compassion. Make your points, destroy him on the issues, compare economies, compare immigration numbers, compare crime rates, compare interest rates, compare everything from your term to his term, and win. Win the debate. Biden will be so lost by the time you get into the third topic, he won't remember anything, and he'll be stuck with... that's his thing now. But if you go after him and beat him up, it may do more harm than good. That's the point that I'm trying to make. All right, I've just got so much just floating around here right now that I want to hit all of it. 216-901-0945 is the number. 888-281-1110. We're going to take your phone calls. I do have a ton more information that I have to give to you. And I also have some guests coming up as well. Dr. Everett Piper will be joining us here in just a few minutes after the top of the hour news. I want to know two things from you. One, are you watching the State of the Union tonight? Two, do you want there to be debates? Will they help or hurt President Trump if he were to stand across the stage from a weak, frail Joe Biden, who was too weak and frail to stand trial because the jury would be too sympathetic? Would 50 million voters watching television also be sympathetic to the frail old man? I want to talk about it with you. As we continue the culture war, nevertheless, absolutely must win. One of our leaders in that war is General Everett Piper, sometimes known as Dr. Everett Piper. But Dr. Piper is a past university president. He is a best-selling author. He's a columnist, and he also happens to be... Oh, and he hosts a podcast called The Rebellion. You should check out wherever you get your podcasts. And he also is a county commissioner in Osage County, Oklahoma. Dr. Piper, welcome back. How are you?
Good morning, Bob. Thanks for having me on.
Always a pleasure. Thank you very much. So we have a lot to talk about with respect to your article, your Ask Dr. E column from this week, and a couple of other things. But just real quick, do you have any expectations tonight of the State of the Union? Will you watch it?
You know, I've got to admit, the last several State of the Union addresses, I haven't watched for the same reasons that you just described. And then you have me on your show the next day, and I feel guilty because I have to play off of your knowledge as opposed to seeing it firsthand. So my expectation is we're going to see the consequences. I'm going to play off the subtitle of my book, Not a Daycare. The subtitle of that book is The Devastating Consequences of Abandoning Truth. And you're going to see those consequences in this State of the Union address. You're going to see lie after lie. You're going to see a claim that the economy is good when we know it's not. You're going to hear a claim that somehow the border is secure when we know that's a lie. We're going to hear references to LGBTQIA, and somehow a trans person can change their identity just because they have a fantasy or they want to fabricate something that isn't real. Again, that's a lie. The consequences of abandoning truth, an objective standard of what's real, an objective standard as to what's right and wrong, an objective standard of how we live our daily lives, we're seeing the consequences of that on a minute-by-minute basis in our culture. And I'll bet you a steak dinner that you're going to see the huge consequences of that in the State of the Union address. And you'll also see some huge Socratic fallacies. And I'm going to guess the primary one will be constructing straw man. It's called the straw man argument, where you construct this boogeyman, this fake character, this scarecrow that doesn't represent any reality, but you can scare people with it, flail away and beat it to death and pretend that you're the hero. He will do that over and over again tonight.
That's very true. He will. And, you know, we are living day to day the consequences of abandoning truth. I mean, literally, his abandonment of truth guides every principle and policy that he and they put forth. And we are all living the consequences of those every day. So I think that's a great analysis and a great reference of the book. Okay, Dr. Piper, let's get back to some current events now. And your Ask Dr. E column this week is really interesting, and it's somewhat of a follow-up, I guess. I don't know. Last week we talked, about our children and why we seem to be in a perpetual state of adolescence. Adults are like adolescents. Where are the leaders and so forth? So this is kind of another column or question and answer in the same vein. Dear Dr. E, I'm the parent of a 16-year-old son and a 14-year-old daughter, and one of the things that bothers me most about their peer group is their pessimism, whether it be the economy, our country, the church, the environment. It seems they're consumed by fear. Do you have any advice for parents trying to raise their children to be confident leaders? That's the comparison to last week, the leading, rather than following the crowd of their doomsday generation. What a great, great question. I see the same thing in so many places. Wanting to be a good dad from Arkansas, and how do you respond?
Well, this is a statistically verifiable concern, because if you look at any of the data, whether it be Barna or Gallup or any other pollsters, we see that Gen Z is a very pessimistic generation. They, by the majority, over 50% in almost every category, they think the future is bad. They talk about the environment and global warming. They talk about the economy. They talk about the country. They don't believe in America. They don't believe in exceptionalism. They don't believe in the church. They don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe the world is going to endure. They think it's going to implode, and we've only got 10 years before we're all doomed. I mean, it's the AOC syndrome, if you will. So how do we deal with this when we're raising children? Well, basically, the premise of my response is this: teach your children to be people of faith, not fear. And at first blush, you might think, what? Faith? Because faith is kind of a esoteric, ethereal thing. It's not grounded in substance. You know, we just have faith. That's not what the Bible says about faith. Jesus tells us that the wise man builds his house upon a rock, and the foolish man builds his house upon sand. The rock is the rock of faith. Faith is not a blind leap into the dark. Faith, biblical faith, is grounded in the facts, the historical veracity of the gospel, the historical truth of Jesus Christ, that he lived, he was crucified, and he rose from the grave, and now he lives as the second person of the triune God, governing and judging at the end of days. He promised us, I've said it 1,000 times on your show, that the gates of hell do not prevail against his church. That's faith. We have faith in the promises of God and the reality of Jesus in our lives. We have faith in the truth. Back to the point. You don't abandon the truth. You have faith in the truth that's been revealed to us by common sense, sense that's common, natural law, the laws of nature and nature's God, and the Bible, the revelation of God that is given to us over some 4,000 years of Old Testament and New Testament revelation. That's faith. So if you want to teach your kids to have confidence in the midst of this mess, teach them to be faithful. Teach them to have confidence in those things that are verified by the revelation and the truth of God and the truth of Scripture. That's confidence that can lead.
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's a great answer you've given here. And just quick follow, like at the very end, after discussing many of those things in your piece, two lines that I wanted to just share. Teach your children that temporary afflictions are just that. They are temporary. And tell your kids to focus on where they're going, not what stands in the way. That reminds me of an old inspirational quote that I used way back in the 80s. And I used it, strangely enough, when I was in college for a few different things. But obstacles are what you see when you take your eyes off the goal. And if you see every challenge in front of you and every negative thing and every pessimistic thing in front of you and you look at it and you're trying to find a way around this one and find your way around that one, you will eventually get tired and you will stop. Rather than looking past those things, looking at the goal and realizing the obstacles are not what are going to define your journey. You're going to get past those if you keep your eyes looking far beyond those things getting in your way every single day. And
Every athlete knows what you just said is true. No pain, no gain. Your coach told you that 1,000 times. You know it's true. You're not a good athlete if you don't experience the pain of practice and disciplining your body. And as a Christian, we know the same is true. God tells us that as iron sharpens iron, one man will sharpen another. Adversity strengthens us. It tempers us. We get rid of the dross. We preserve the gold. We're stronger as the result.
Very, very well argued. Dr. Piper, let's move on. You sent a note to me with a tweet, actually, that I wanted to bring up. And essentially, the topic that it was referencing, that you referenced with me, and it was just coincidental. Yesterday on my Strictly Speaking program, which you have appeared on, I was talking with Chris Burgard from His Glory, .me, which is, religious programming. And he and I were discussing Christian nationalism because of the fact that has become a pejorative. The word Christian on its own sometimes is viewed in a negative way, and nationalism is viewed in a very negative way. Christian nationalism, oh my goodness, that's terrible. What is that? So I want to give you some latitude here and explain exactly what you are talking about and why you think it is that Christianity and nationalism, two things that should not be, in my opinion, viewed in a negative way, are, especially when combined, they are considered to be a dangerous threat to the country.
Well, let's go back to what I said about a straw man argument.
All right.
The left has created this boogeyman, this scarecrow, this straw man. It's not real. It's fake. It's a construct of their postmodern wishes. It's a political ploy. Don Quixote, tilting at windmills, being afraid of things that aren't real, really aren't there. What is a Christian nationalist? Well, you tell me. It's a moving target. They use it to brand any conservative Christian who wants to engage in the public square through argument and debate and through service, be salt and light in our culture as Jesus told us to be, or the Great Commission, go into all the world, all nations, teaching them what I've taught you, telling them to obey. Or the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, they'll claim that because I just said that I believe in a theocracy and I want to impose my Christianity on everybody else. And there should be legal penalties for those who don't subscribe and convert, that we want to have a Christian nation through coercion. That's a lie. I don't know any thinking, rational human being that says he's a Christian who believes that we should have forced conversions or a theocracy in the United States. What we do believe is that Christianity itself sets the context and is the pretext for religious freedom. Without Christianity, you don't have religious freedom. You have Sharia law. Without Christianity, you don't have the First Amendment. You have the dictates of the Soviet Union. You can't practice your religion freely without Christianity. It's Christianity that gives us the liberty to disagree. Real Christians, biblical Christianity, seeks to convert people through dialogue and debate, not through some dynasty or not through some despot. So they're creating a fake reality, and they're asking us to believe that Christian nationalists are these boogeymen that want to control what we say and that we have to go to church and we're actually going to have to bow to the religion of the state. That's garbage. That's never been the case. You can go all the way back to Thomas Jefferson. They keep quoting him in the separation of church and state, but it was Thomas Jefferson in his first inaugural address who said that Christianity of all religions is the one, what? That I am bound to give sanction to because it's the best of all religions. Does that sound like a Christian nationalist? Well, in their definition today, I guess they think Thomas Jefferson was one.
Yeah, that's a great point, and they probably would say that. It's just such a troubling thing because, to my knowledge anyway, I have never heard a Christian evangelist or a Catholic priest or anybody who is of a prominent Christian position in any way suggesting that if you aren't Christian and if you don't practice Christianity and if you do not believe in Christian tenets and proselytize and so on and so forth, that you are going to be held accountable for that. There is no responsibility that is pushed except for responsibility to self. Christians, to my knowledge, and again, I'm a Catholic, but Christians, to my knowledge, simply say, you want to save yourself, start your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's it. That's not nationalism. And that is not forcing anybody to adopt a position on the basis based on the national principles or the national founding or anything of that nature. It's simply a relationship between you and Jesus. It is nothing to do with other people. If you would like to engage in such a relationship, you will be grateful for it at the end of time. And that is all. I don't find anything negative about that. I don't find anything nationalistic. I don't find anything about that authoritarian or despotic. It is absolutely what Christians believe, and they have used it essentially, you know, as a tool or as a weapon against us.
Well, it's I was debating a pastor, an evangelical pastor, this week about this claim of Christian nationalism because he was throwing it at me for something I posted in social media. Mm-hmm. And he started talking about Christian nationalists wanting to convert people in a coercive fashion and force our religion on all of America. And we shouldn't do that. We should just trust the gospel. But again, you can't trust the gospel unless you're free to proclaim it to your neighbor, to your family, to your kids, in your school. None of that is coercion. All of that is just the First Amendment, open, free expression of ideas in the public square. And again, back to Thomas Jefferson, the wall of separation of church and state. You've said it, I've said it over and over again. The wall of separation was referenced not in the Constitution, but in the letter to the Danbury Baptists, because those Baptists in Connecticut were nervous that the federal government was going to start imposing its will on them. And Jefferson wrote them a letter and said, no, there's a wall protecting you from federal coercion, federal control. The wall is there to protect you from the government. It's not there to protect the government from Christians. That's bizarre. That's crazy. That's nonsense. But the shame of it today, Bob, is a lot of Christians have bought this lie, this tilting at windmills, this straw man argument that somehow if they engage in political conversation or debate, that you're compromising the gospel as a result of doing so because you're engaging in the attempt to construct a theocracy and Christian nationalism. It's just not true. And here's one more thing, if I may. When I went on the Dave Rubin show, I talked about the gospel. I talked about the truth of Christ and the truth of Scripture, and that, Mr. Rubin, we can't do any measuring without a measuring rod outside of those things that we are measuring. That's C.S. Lewis. So if we want to have a sane culture, you've got to have a measurement of sanity outside of the individual. And in my opinion, Mr. Rubin, that's Jesus Christ and the Bible. Now, Rubin doesn't agree with my religion. You and I both know that. But what did he say after I was done? If more people said what you just said, we'd be a freer, braver, and wiser nation. When I was on the Adam Carolla show, I said the exact same thing. Measuring rod, outside of those things being measured, you can do no measuring. Adam Carolla is an atheist. What did he say? Thank you. What the world needs today is more of this wisdom. And then we have Joe Rogan this past week saying we need Jesus because we've created this vacuous culture where we've taken religion out. This is Rogan talking. We've taken religion out, and what is filling the vacuum? Secular despotism and wokeism. And that you must bow at this postmodern god of self. And even Rogan recognizes that isn't working. And he concluded his podcast by saying, and this is a quote, what we need today is Jesus. And that's Joe Rogan. So these guys that don't agree with your religion or mine understand that freedom comes from an open debate where you pursue some values that actually are grounded in something other than self.
Dr. Piper, that's a lot, and great quotes, by the way, from some of those other individuals, and I'm glad you brought that message to all of those other shows that you've been on, too, because it is extraordinarily important. We've kind of painted ourselves into a little bit of a corner here. I've only got maybe 2 minutes left for you to talk about Jack Hibbs, but I want to let you do that. Pastor Jack Hibbs of the Calvary Chapel Chino Hills Church in Chino, California, gave a prayer at the end of January before Congress, and just recently, Democrats, 26 of them, I believe, sent a letter of complaint to the speaker talking about how inappropriate it was to have this man speaking. Can you tell us about it in 2 minutes?
Yeah. Okay. Same story. Jack Hibbs, big church in Calvary Chapel in Los Angeles, Chino Hills. In fact, I'm going there this afternoon. I'm flying out to speak at his church this weekend. Jack Hibbs is invited to open prayer in Congress, as we've done for 250 years, and he prayed in Jesus' name. Shame on him. He prayed in Jesus' name. He's a Christian nationalist as a result of doing that. That's exactly what happened. This is bizarre. This is crazy. Who's he supposed to pray to? He's a Christian. If you're going to invite a Christian to pray, don't you think he's going to pray in Jesus' name? And would they be offended if a Muslim had prayed a Muslim prayer? No, you would not be hearing the outrage if a Muslim had prayed consistent with his faith. In fact, they would say, we have to honor that. To not do so would be intolerant. But you have to tolerate a prayer to Allah, but you cannot in any shape or form in the Democrat world and in the postmodern world, in this crazy woke world, you cannot tolerate a prayer in Jesus' name because that makes you a nationalist. And the irony is Sharia law would call for coercion, would call for restrictions on religious freedom, but Christianity never has.
Very well said. Dr. Piper, it's so amazing that you're going out there to speak at his church. That is wonderful. Safe travels to you. Enjoy your time there, and we'll talk to you.
And four.
Enlightening the sleeping masses and stoking the fire of the American dream. Always Right Radio with Bob France on The Answer.
Okay, it is 10:35. Thanks for being with us. Always Right Radio on AM 1420, The Answer. Thanks to Dr. Everett Piper. I'm just still trying to process some of what we're going to deal with tonight during the State of the Union. Joe Biden says that he is going to teach Donald Trump a thing or two about uniting people. About uniting people and delivering for the American people. This is in response to Trump's poke in the bear, if you will, about a debate, demanding a debate, challenging Biden to a debate. And the response from Team Biden was, if you're so urgently waiting to see President Biden in prime time, watch the State of the Union address. Quote, you might even learn a thing or two about bringing people together. That just cracks me up. Seth, you remember that, right? Remember the? Well, I don't remember exactly when it was. It was a few months. It was like October, November, or something like that. When he held that, prime time national address with the satanic backdrop, where it was all black and red. The only thing missing was flame shooting up like the at the queue.
It was like the evil empire, and Darth Vader was speaking to you.
Yeah, and he's just like thundering away at about how nasty half of the people in this country are.
Yeah,
MAGA extremists and just this is the guy who says he's going to bring people together.
He'll do that again tonight, I guarantee.
Yeah,
you know what I picture though? He walks through the door, and they give him a giant booster shot that just right into his neck. right before he goes out on stage.
Yeah, well, like I guarantee you they're going to give him some. They're going to give him some B12, probably. Yeah. They'll probably give him a B12 injection shortly before. I'm not joking about that.
No,
I know
me
you're. But I mean, literally before he goes out there, they'll hop him up on whatever caffeine they can to make him alert and just keep him vertical. You know, they'll probably, you know, have, I don't know what they can do to make sure he doesn't trip and fall on his way out there. But in all seriousness, I mean, I wonder how many people off to either side of the you know, the podium there, they're going to have that are out of camera shot, who are going to be guiding him and telling him where to go when it's over, you know, because he's going to turn and go the wrong way, you know, the way he's done so many times. But anyway, I'm specifically focused on the part where he's going to be the one who brings America together under unity or in unity. Because we're going to talk to Dan Messina now. And Dan works with an organization that is geared toward doing exactly that. Something Biden will give lip service to but never actually be able to do. Because he doesn't really want to. He gives it lip service for the purpose of political support. But there's an organization called Braver Angels that is intending to bring people together, to bring both sides of the political spectrum, or aisle rather, together, and those on either end of the spectrum, to find ways to come to common ground on resolutions that they put together. Dan tells me they're called Common Ground Workshops. And these Common Ground Workshops have come forth with a very important report that he wanted to tell us about. So let's bring Dan Messina from Braver Angels and among other organizations, including the American Trinity Project. Dan, good to have you back. How are you, my friend?
I am doing great. Thank you very much, Bob, for bringing me on your show. I'm very grateful.
Yeah, well, you told me you've got something important to share with this report, but let's, you know, I just gave a very cursory description of what Braver Angels is. Tell us more.
Okay, so Braver Angels is a national organization looking to bridge the political divide by putting reds and blues together, or liberals and conservatives, together at the same table to talk it out. And that takes on many forms. You mentioned Common Ground Workshops. That's just one type of workshop. There is actually many types of workshops out there that's done nationally through Zoom. Also, alliances. One of the important things about alliances, or sometimes you can call them chapters, but alliances are just, they want a coming together on a grassroots level and have face-to-face meetings. And that's really the power of Braver Angels, and for us to get to the table and talk to each other. So that's what Braver Angels is. And so I'm part of the Northeast Ohio Alliance. I'm the co-chair, one of the co-chairs for it. All the co-chairs have to have a politically balanced leadership. So there's a blue co-chair that I work with to design meetings and to pick out topics and figure out how we're going to sit down and talk to each other.
And so you're the red co-chair, and there's a blue co-chair, and you guys got to work on this stuff together. How does that go? I mean, you know, everybody talks about the division, rightfully so. It's real. You know, we are more divided than ever. It seems like two people cannot sit at the same table if they are on the opposite side of a political spectrum. Families are broken up. Relationships are broken up. So it's really, really hard to talk to people who are on the other side because things have gotten so contentious. So tell me, how do you do that, Dan, with your blue co-chair?
Well, for us, we don't talk a lot of politics with my blue co-chair. We don't. On occasion, we do, but it's not very deep. We just kind of mention some things that we think, you know, if something's said, we kind of go a little banter back and forth, but we're really trying to work out just the details of the meeting, how to run. We have a steering committee that we have that we, you know, help. They're supposed to assist us and help generate these events. And, so we have one coming up this month, actually, in 2 weeks from today. We have a meeting that's going to be over the topic of this report that just came out.
Okay.
And actually, one other thing I would like to mention is when we do get together, it's astounding how much we actually agree upon. There is common ground, and there are things that we actually can come together on. And actually, when I've talked to Reds and Blues, that they have that, you know, knucklehead in their family that they can't get along with. It always has to raise issues over turkey dinner. And they'll come here and say, oh, this makes sense. Like, because, you know, there's another baggage in your family that you have to deal with. So you kind of, when you come to a Brave Angels event, you don't have the baggage of family or, you know, strained relationships or whatever. And so you're able to talk and listen to each other a little bit easier. And I urge one, and the other thing about Brave Angels is there's kind of a deficiency with we're deficient in red. It's blue heavy organization in terms of the membership, but not in terms of the leadership. But so I'm always urging Rick to come in and to engage.
How would somebody who's interested in engaging do that?
Go to braverangels.org. The best way to do it, you go to ways to get involved. There's a tab at the top. You go ways to get involved and then hit a tab of Find My Line. It's something along those lines. Okay. And you can then join Braver Angels. You get emails, and there's all kinds of ways to get involved. There's all kinds of workshops nationally that are put on. There's debates. There's events around town. I think it's very worthy. Blues, I get accosted by blues all the time. Please bring more reds into the organization. And they ask me because they don't know what we believe. They have no clue. I mean,
do you believe that?
They're not going to know what we believe if they're listening to CNN or MSNBC or NPR.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, do they really not know what we believe? I mean, I don't know. How can they not? I mean, the partisan divide exists in large part because we know what the other side thinks and we disagree with it wholeheartedly. I mean, you know, I understand the challenge of coming together means you have to understand each other better. I get that part. But when they say we don't know what you believe, we really want you to come in here. Isn't that kind of the reason they're a part of an organization that literally says our goal or our mission is to bring Americans together to bridge a partisan divide? And that, because that's what Braver Angels does, right?
Yes, absolutely. But what I was saying was that we lack. It's a struggle for me to find enough reds so we can have, a balanced room to have an event.
Yeah.
But that's nationwide. It's like a 3-1 or 4-1 blues to red.
Why do you think that is, Dan?
I've been mulling this over for a long time, and I think the reason is part of it is okay. You've got this organization. There's some blue speak in it. I don't trust it. They're going to try to indoctrinate me, so I won't join, and I'm not going to be a part of it. The other is we're so busy just trying to plug the holes in the ship that's sinking that we don't have time to engage with the other side. And so I'm sure those are two of the most common things that I've heard.
I can understand it, especially the latter of the two. Because I'm finding, you know, I spend much of my time professionally and even personally trying to figure out how to destroy the left, because I think what the left is doing is destructive to the country. So in my belief that we need to save and preserve this republic, I have to destroy those who are trying to kill it, not find ways to, moderate their destructive habits. And say, well, we'll agree that you can destroy some of our culture, some of our kids, some of our education, some of our capitalistic economy and so forth. But you know, as long as you give a little bit on the other side, what I'm saying is that compromise is very, very hard to come by for someone. You feel like, you know, what is being done is literally going to destroy not only our way of life, but this republic that we're supposed to leave for our next generations.
Yeah. So the dirty word of compromise, I agree with you. Look, I'm as conservative as they come. I see the destruction. I see what's going on. But if you start talking to, these are self-selected blues and reds that join this organization. And one of the things that they, when I talk to them, they don't know what the World Economic Forum is. They don't know who Klaus Schwab is. They don't know the dangers of that of the COVID vaccine and the boosters pose. They don't hear about it, and they don't know about it. We have political prisoners called that are January Sixers that are in prison still. Some of them still waiting their initial hearing. They don't know about any of that. So that's
important. That's, yeah. So now I get that part. And the fact that they're willing to come to these events and to these, you know, these forums and so forth is good if you can get more Reds, as you say, to come. But the question is how will they be received once you get there? You know what I mean? People like you, and if you were, you know, if it's 3-1 and 4-1, that's really lopsided. You're right. If more people came and brought those facts, though, do you think they would be receptive to that? I give them credit for being there and saying, you know, we want to learn more about what you guys think and information. And if you're willing to provide that, God bless you, man. You specifically, Dan, and anybody generally speaking who's willing to do this. But if you bring those kinds of things and bring evidence of those things and the way, say, J6ers are being treated and so on and so forth, will they be receptive to it, or will they do what they do, you know, in regular life, which is, say, turn off Fox News, turn off Newsmax, turn off conservative talk radio? You've been brainwashed.
Actually, I have seen that. But I've seen some blues when they start talking about some of the things that came, because we usually break out into these small group discussions. Mm-hmm. Small table discussions to allow for more people to engage each other. And what comes out is, you know, I didn't know about this, or I'll have to look at that. Or we've done a couple of meetings just in regards to the media and how media treats news. And what came out of one of the meetings was, we would list our sources. You know, where do you get your news? Mentioned a bunch of them. And I see blues writing it down. They want to check it out because I think some are like, why haven't I heard this before? And then there are some that are like, it's like hitting a wall. You just can't break through for some people. But there are a lot of blues who are like, well, wait a minute, I haven't been told this. Mm-hmm. And that's where the seeds of are planted, and perhaps maybe they will be curious enough to maybe go down that rabbit hole a bit and to go into other news sources and to actually put together a better picture of what's going on in this country.
Well, they're, that's good, and I'm glad to hear some optimistic things like that, that people are really interested in learning those things, and that's good. And the fact that you are there is a credit to you, and the fact that you're trying to pull more people on the red side of things to balance that scale is also important. Dan, let's talk about this report, because that was the primary reason for our conversation. You had you guys have produced an important report. Share that with us.
Okay, so basically what happened, so the report is regarding elections. And we had political opposites that came together over this polarizing subject of elections, but worked together to find unanimous consent over resolutions they themselves generated. This is what's called common ground workshops. And that's pretty astonishing. I was astonished by this. So we had 3 years of common ground workshop, and a common ground workshop is basically this. You have reds and blues gather over some polarizing subject. It doesn't have to be elections, but in this case, it's elections. Despite the differences, the goal was to find a way to garner trust, via group-generated solutions in order to ensure fairness and transparency in our elections. The Braver Angels Trustworthy Elections Initiative bridged political gaps through common ground workshops where equal numbers of reds and blues collaborated to reach unanimous agreements on three things: principles, concerns, and solutions related to elections. There were 727 points of agreement that came out of the 26 workshops, and it culminated into a leadership group that was formed to then take the data that was collected through all of these workshops and to write a paper. And I was on that. I was one of the red tenants. It was a 12-member committee, leadership team, half red, half blue. And we finally hammered out a paper. It wasn't easy because there was a lot of back and forth.
Tell us about the paper, Dan, because I want to make sure we get this in time.
Okay. So the paper actually addressed many things that Blues are concerned with. And there were basically seven groupings of things, like fair and equal access to voting, for instance. Verifiable voter ID and eligibility, transparency and accountability, redistricting and gerrymandering, confidence in vote counting, and safety and security in the election process, and peaceful transfer of power. These were the things that we got out of the Common Ground workshop. These were, like I said, unanimously generated by both reds and blues.
That's positive.
And yeah, there was a lot of good stuff in here. Like, for instance, if you go to the paper, which is at braverangels.org, /trustworthy-elections, you can get the full report, and you can also get an abbreviated report. And there's also a fireside chat, which talks about the process, too. For instance, here's one, and this one we kind of fought over, which is amazing. Make Federal Election Day a national holiday. We actually, and there was some fighting back and forth between, it's kind of like some blues and some reds didn't want it. But this is what came out of the Common Ground workshop in a pretty overwhelming way. Another one is,
there's probably way too much for you to go through a lot of this.
Sure.
So let's be more general about this, okay? Because, I said, we could sit here and list things. Just to hit the one that you just said, though, what were the arguments of those who oppose a national election day?
The ones who opposed it feared that, well, one, it's not, although it's generally applicable to everybody, it sounds like a good idea. It does, a lot of people still do have to work, you know, police, fire, hospitals, nursing homes, they have to work. You can't just leave your job to do it. So there's a lot of people kind of left out of it. And there was a fear that it might turn into more like government workers going out and voting or something like that, that there wasn't balance in it.
Okay.
And then maybe you change election day, but then try moving that. Like maybe Tuesday's not the best day. So we started talking about maybe Saturday or Sunday is a better day. Most people have those days off.
Mm-hmm.
Although, you know, you can't satisfy everybody.
Well, no, you're never going to be able to, but there are things that can be done to account for those things. You know, I mean, obviously you can do absentee ballots, legitimate absentee ballots like you do for people who are overseas, you know, soldiers and so on and so forth. So you could, if people had to work on the one designated day, you could certainly do things about that. But overall, because I'm looking at the executive summary here on the website, and I encourage people to do exactly what you just said, braverangels.org where'd it go now?
Trustworthy-election.
Yeah, because it opens up as a PDF, so I had the PDF open now, not the browser. So apologies for that.
Okay.
But I encourage people to do that because it is important. You're kind of like cherry picking a few things here and there, and obviously each individual thing we could spend a lot of time on. But I want people to get the bigger, broader, general sense of this. Read the summary. Read the executive summary. If you want to read the whole doggone report, you can, because what you are talking about is important. I know it is. I don't know that I would necessarily be a productive member of one of these teams because, like I said, I see things a little bit differently and I'm a little bit more hardcore about protecting this country and less interested in compromise than I am defeating the enemies of this nation. But you absolutely have to learn more about the other side if you don't know it. There are people who don't study this on a daily basis like you do and I do. There are people who need to learn more, and those are the people maybe that will benefit the most from becoming part of Braver Angels. So I will certainly try to push this and tell people to check this out, see if this is something they want to do to balance the scale, as you pointed out, and bring more red into the
into the conversations, into the common ground meetings, and into the organization, because understanding and learning more is always a good thing, regardless of what your position is. So I support that.
Hey Bob, one more thing I would like to add is that we're going to have an alliance meeting. I mentioned this earlier, on March 20th.
Mm-hmm.
Doors open at 6:15. The meeting starts at 7 and goes to 9 o'clock. It's at the United Church of Christ, 23 Public Square in Brecksville. So it's one of the churches there's two churches on the square. If you go there and you don't see me, you're at the wrong place.
Is that on the events calendar? Because I was looking for that very thing, Dan, yeah. And yeah. And it looks, I don't know that it's necessarily been updated or not, because the only thing I see on here on the calendar is a 2022 Alliance meeting, Northeast Ohio Alliance meeting. So maybe I'm looking in the wrong spot.
It's going to be under events, and it's going to be, look for the Northeast Ohio Alliance.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at. That's what I'm looking at. But it's going to be, but just to clarify, it's going to be on the 20th, you said, and it's going to be at the UCC in Brecksville.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
That's it.
Then we'll get that out there, and hopefully, there are some people listening right now who want to learn more about this, and that can go to the braverangels.org website, look for Northeast Ohio Alliance meeting, and find out and see if this is something that I want to be a part of as well. Dan Messina, got to run. Thank you for the time.
Clients prepare for retirement through the use of insurance and investment products and services. Investment advisory services are offered through appropriately licensed registered investment advisor representatives of its affiliate, AAN Wealth Advisors, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
This hour of Always Right Radio is brought to you by The Floor King and KeepingMedicareSimple.com.
You and I know and do not believe that life is so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. If nothing in life is worth dying for, when did this begin? Just in the face of this enemy? Or should Moses have told the children of Israel to live in slavery under the Pharaohs? Should Christ have refused the cross? Should the patriots at Concord Bridge have thrown down their guns and refused to fire the shot heard round the world? The martyrs of history were not fools. And our honored dead, who gave their lives to stop the advance of the Nazis, didn't die in vain. Where then is the road to peace? Well, it's a simple answer after all. You and I have the courage to say to our enemies, there is a price we will not pay. There is a point beyond which they must not advance.
This is Always Right Radio with Bob France on AM 1420, The Answer.
All right, third and final hour of this Thursday morning broadcast underway. It is 7 minutes after 3 o'clock. Look at that. I just looked at my date and made it a clock. The seventh morning of the third month in the year of our Lord, 2024. I just gave you the actual time. But thank you so much for being with us on this Thursday. Thanks to our good friends Dan Messina and Dr. Everett Piper, too. Prior to those interviews in this last hour, however, I had asked you a couple of questions that I would like to ask you now again. And see if you can answer it, 216-901-0945, 888-281-1110. Number one, are you watching the State of the Union address tonight? And if you are, tell me why. Do you think there will be any value to it whatsoever? Because I kind of don't. And I've watched these things through the years because I've had to, because I've been on the air the next day. But that's not the case now. So I'm going to probably look at the highlights over the weekend, I suppose, and see what some of the reactions are. But are you going to watch this thing, number one? And number two, as President Trump has promised to live tweet / live truth through Truth Social, the event. In other words, everything that Biden says during the speech tonight, Trump is going to be responding to on his account on Truth Social, right? I'm wondering whether or not that will be beneficial if he comes across as being a bully. And I'm wondering, secondly, because Trump yesterday issued a challenge and threw down the gauntlet to the DNC, to the Biden campaign, and said, I will debate him anytime, anywhere, any place, all in capital letters. Make this happen. And he said, I'll even let the DNC run it. President Trump is just salivating at the idea of getting old, decrepit, dementia Joe on a stage where Joe will completely, dissolve into a pool of mush. I mean, he will. Trump will, and I want to see it. However, I don't know if we should see it. And this is what I'm asking you, in all seriousness. I said this before, and I won't be redundant too much here, but, you know, it's like beating up a handicapped person. If you beat up a handicapped person, somebody's going to look at you and say, what's the matter with you? That person is defenseless over there. How can you do that? How can you beat up a defenseless handicapped person? That's Joe Biden. And again, just to repeat this briefly, Robert Hur, the special counsel that investigated Biden's keeping of classified documents, said that he did so willfully and said that he exposed them to these classified and top secret documents to his ghostwriter to help him write his memoirs. And he's been collecting these things, these classified documents that he's been kept, I think, in 10 different locations, including in his garage, in a worn-out, ratty cardboard box next to his Corvette, completely exposed to whomever goes in there, and that would include his crackhead son, who he let drive his Corvette, and who's a literal crackhead, who could do Lord only know. You know what? I mean, Hunter Biden is obviously looking to make a quick buck everywhere he can, being the crackhead that he is. I mean, how many different things did he do selling access to his father to make money? Who's to say he wouldn't sell classified documents to people? My point is, Robert Hur said all of these things were willful. That means intentional. Yet, I will not recommend prosecuting him for them because it's unlikely we'd get a conviction. Not because the evidence isn't strong enough, but because he is a senile, old, dementia-ridden, weak, pathetic, frail man, and the jury would be really overly sympathetic to him. Right? And I think there's truth to that. The jury would be. And so if you can't prosecute him because the jury would be too sympathetic with this frail old man, then I wonder how 50 million jurors watching a debate as Donald Trump beats him up would feel about it. Would they not see the same thing and feel sympathy for the old man and feel bad that Trump is just waylaying on him the way Trump does when he debates? I wonder if a debate will do more harm than good is my question. Because Trump will dismantle him in a debate. He'll have a better record to run on. He'll obviously be much better able to articulate his points than Biden is. But Trump, of course, even if Trump was a normal debater, it would be a difficult thing to see. But the way Trump is too, the way Trump is, you know, obviously very condescending. He's an name caller. He's, you know, very interruptive and so on and so forth. If he comes at him and barrels at him, will it look like he's beating up on a handicapped person? And will that not harm him with moderates who really do want to get away from Joe Biden, who really have watched 3+ years now of Bidenomics in action and are just struggling to put food on the table, struggling to pay the electric bill, struggling to put gas in the car? People who have watched 3.5 years of Biden border policies, looking at violent criminals, gang members, cartel members, drug runners, human traffickers, and so forth, coming into this country, committing horrific crimes, soaking up so many resources. They've seen it, and they're looking for a reason to leave Biden, and they have to have a reason to do that, and that reason would be Donald Trump. But if Donald Trump comes off as the bully beating up Joe Biden, I wonder how much play there will be there with moderates. I'm just curious. 216-901-0945, 888-281-1110. Navy man Norm is in first in Strongsville. Norm, you watching the show tonight?
No, 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 absolutely not yet. No way.
You went Russian on me. Why?
If I did, Bob, I'd have to go to confession Saturday morning at St. John Newman Church in Strongsville, because I would not refer to this occupant of the White House as a lying dog-faced pony soldier. I would refer to him as a lying sack of bovine excrement that must be thrown out for once and for all. I'm serious. The man turns my stomach. I cannot watch him. The minute I see him, I have to switch the channel on whatever I'm watching. It would be a total waste of my time. And the reason I say that is we know his pedigree. We know he's a pathological liar. We know he's not going to say anything that he hasn't said before. He refers to us in the most vile and despicable terms that we are domestic terrorists, not Black Lives Matter, not Antifa, not the American Communist Party. No, those aren't domestic terrorists. He's totally ignored the veterans. He's totally ignored America. He's for constantly the illegals first, followed by the Ukraine, and America is nowhere to be found. I just cannot, as I said, I can't tolerate the man. I know what you're trying to do, and I applaud you for it, because you're doing what many, many of us refuse to do, so that we can, you can probably tell us on Friday what you saw and what you feel. But Bob, I'll tell you, after I watched Josh Hawley rip on Christopher Wray yesterday in the U.S. Senate about picking out Catholics, and that he lied, that he actually perjured himself, because they actually, Wray and the FBI, part of Garland's Gestapo, have actually targeted Catholic priests and choir directors, not just from Richmond, Virginia, as he initially said, but in many instances around the country. Mm-hmm. So with that background, I say, hell no.
Well, I don't blame you. What about Trump Truth, live truthing it on Truth Social? Do you have the app? Are you on Truth Social, or do you watch it?
Yeah, I can tap into that, and I may do that.
I was going to say, because that might make it tolerable. If what Trump says he's going to do is what he does, every time Biden lies or says something about Trump that is not true, or attacks MAGA or something like that, if Trump is going to come back with a response, it might make it tolerable if you're watching.
Yeah, it could, but I would hope that Mike Johnson, when he's standing behind the idiot, takes the State of the Union, tears it up, and throws it up in the air like Pelosi did.
Well, you know that's not going to happen, because he has dignity, and he has class and respect, right, for the people. I really hope he doesn't do that, actually. But I do understand the desire.
But being the sailor and the Trumper that I am, I probably would. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, it would be hard for me not to, he probably has much more self-control than I do, and maybe you do. Norm, thank you, my friend. I appreciate the call. 216-901-0945, 888-281-1110. By the way, that video that I told you about, make sure you watch it. Speaker Johnson that Norm just referenced, came out with kind of a pre-State of the Union address, real report on the state of this union, pointing out all of the lies and the hypocrisy and the fiction and everything else that Biden is going to use tonight. Here's the real status of it. It's 90 seconds long. The audio, I played it in the first hour. The audio is nowhere near as good as the video. You really need to see, because there are words on the screen that accompany the audio portion of it. But as this is radio and not television, I'm limited in that regard, but I'm going to play it for you anyway.
And my report is this. The State of the Union is strong. You should come. Surge to the border.
Migrants surge across from Mexico. It's
pushing resources to the limit.
Some of those spot part of the terror watch list.
Every state is a border state. Every city is a border city.
Sharp rise in the amount of drugs.
8,500 pounds of fentanyl.
Cartel controls everything that happens here.
America is at a breaking point.
Joe Biden is touting Bidenomics.
Bidenomics is working.
78% of voters view the economy negatively.
And that the president is to blame.
We're changing people's lives.
Unrelenting price increases.
Sticker shock is hitting millions of Americans hard.
The highest economic growth in 40 years.
The highest inflation rate, Mr. President, in 40 years.
I got that.
Crime is dominating the headlines.
Surge of violent smash and grab robberies.
24% more murders.
The buck stops with me.
The Middle East in flames. Israel has formally declared war.
The Taliban has returned to power. Embassy shuttered. The flag coming down.
Vladimir Putin doesn't fear this president.
Xi Jinping told President Biden China will reunify with Taiwan.
Weakness invites aggression.
Appeasement has failed.
This open season on America.
The country has soured on Joe Biden.
The most vacation days taken by a president.
The White House in damage control.
Where is the president? Why isn't he communicating?
As I say, the video is so much more, impactful than just the audio. But seek it out. It's on my Twitter page, which you can follow me there, which, of course, is now X, but I hate that. Follow me there at France Rants, and or just look up Bob France, and you can also find that video on the Facebook page, Always Right Radio, Always Right Radio. So, yeah, he's going to lie about what's really happening, but Mike Johnson put that video out there, 90 seconds of what is really happening in advance of the speech tonight, so people can watch it knowing the lies that they are listening to are indeed just that, lies, because the reality is there for us. Diane is in North Royalton. Hi, Diane. Thanks for calling. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Bob.
Hello.
Hi. First-time caller, so a little nervous here.
Well, welcome to the show. It's good to have you.
Oh, I've been listening for years.
Well, so, I appreciate that very much.
Yep. I will not be watching that man. I cannot stand to listen to him. Whenever I see him on TV, my TV goes on to mute. But anyway, what I wanted to talk to you about is absentee ballots. Okay. I'm 83 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I have been voting absentee for quite some time, and right now I have two knees that I'm going to have replaced this year. So there's no way I can walk to the ballot box and cast my ballot.
Mm-hmm.
So I've already voted absentee. I want to make you aware, in case you're not, that here in Ohio, it's not easy to get an absentee ballot. You have to ask for it. They don't automatically send them to you. Maybe a senator or someone, a representative or a councilwoman or man, may send you an application for a ballot, but you do not automatically get a ballot. And in order to get that ballot, you have to provide a form of identification, either your last four digits of your Social Security number,
mm-hmm.
your driver's license number, or there's one other thing that you can use. But that's what I wanted to say, that don't disregard absentee ballots, because there are elderly people who cannot get to the polls.
Well, no, you're 100% right, and I would never disregard or disrespect the absentee ballot process. You know, not in addition to people like you who, whether you be elderly or, like you say, you're going to be having a surgical procedure or whatever the reason is that you have a very hard time doing it, I think that should absolutely be available, but also to our brave men and women who are serving. They're stationed overseas on Election Day, and maybe even
That's
for
right.
the 30 days,
or
they need it too.
My
so.
Son, who is a U.S. citizen, mm-hmm. who lives in Canada.
Yeah, there you go. And people who are going to be either for work or for whatever reason out of the country, you're exactly right, or out of the town where their actual, you know, they may be just working in another state at election time, and they may not be able to cast a vote in their actual, jurisdiction. So the absentee process is perfectly fine with me. The problem that I have and that many other people have, Diane, and I don't know if this is what you're referring to, is just mail-in balloting for the sake of general convenience, where it's not necessarily a quote-unquote absentee ballot where you have to go through all of the things you just said to make sure that it is legitimate.
Right.
That you
right.
are ID'd and so forth, but just
right.
mail-in balloting like we had in 2020 because of COVID, that is what is just completely, you know, rife with fraud, and it's a problem. So absentee
right.
balloting process to me is good. The mail-in voting idea, though, is a different story altogether.
Right. Okay.
Anything else, dear?
No.
Well, I'm so glad you called. Thank you for listening for so long. I super appreciate that, and I hope you call back again, okay?
I'll try to.
All right. God bless you. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. I get that a lot. I meet a lot of people at a lot of events, and they listen to me forever, and I say, have you ever called? And they say, no, I'm afraid to. A little bit nerd. You know, I might have a loud voice, but I don't bite. It's all bark. I don't bite. You're going to be just fine. So by all means, if we get more first-time callers, that's a glorious thing. Let's go to Sally and Bria. Sally's not a first-time caller. I hear Sally on a regular basis. Hi, Sally. Go right ahead.
Hi, Bob. I know that it will be absolute torture, but I am going to watch it only so that I can respond to those persons who try to defend the policies and just the fact that President Biden remains to be our president. It is absolutely a matter of so many people have just given him a pass on his condition, and that really abandons common sense. And I just want to confront that.
Well, good for you, Sally, and thank you for the call. You're right, and you're smart to see it that way, too. See it for yourself, hear what he says so that you're prepared to explain to other people what was wrong with it, rather than not knowing exactly what went down. As to his condition, I so wish he was in the same condition he was, say, 10 years ago at 71. Because then there would be no excuses whatsoever for his behavior, such as the illegal obtaining and keeping of classified documents, and that the willful act of doing so would lead to his being charged, whereas his condition now is his defense. And also the blame for all of the horrific policies he has put in place here. What he's done to the economy, what he has done to national security, what he's done to the homeland, what he's done to crime, all of the things that we know about, a lot of people have a hard time coming down on him because he's an old man and he's really, really out of it. And he's really, really, memory challenged and so forth. I wish he was in his normal, right frame of mind, if you will, so that he could be helped.
Back debit. Discover Bank. Member FDIC.
Keeping you informed among the uninformed. Always Right Radio with Bob France on The Answer.
All right, friends, it is 11:35, final segment of the broadcast. I played for you the Mike Johnson video earlier just to kind of give you, this is the truth that would be used to counter the lies that you're going to hear from Biden tonight. And it's in that same vein that I want to give you this. Biden has said repeatedly, and the number one issue, they're not stupid. They're evil, but they're not stupid. They know they can read the polls. They know that the number one issue, according to the American people right now, by a lot, is illegal immigration. And number two is inflation. And so when he addresses the border tonight, he's going to blame Republicans for all of it. He's going to blame Speaker Johnson, whether by name or not, saying that the Senate passed a bipartisan border security bill. It is not. It is a lie. It was not a border security bill. It was a funding bill with supplemental funds to go to Ukraine, Taiwan, Gaza, and Israel. And, oh, by the way, in addition to that, we're gonna quote-unquote crack down on the border by limiting the number of illegal crossings to 5,000 a week, to the tune of 1.85 million per year. And only then, if we determine that it's an emergency situation, will we then, quote-unquote, close the border. He's going to say that's what was passed, and Mike Johnson and the Republican-controlled House wouldn't even vote on it. And what more can I do, he's going to say. We needed this comprehensive immigration reform, and we offered it and provided it, and they won't take it up. I can't do anything about it, he's going to say. And I want you, when you hear him say that he can't do anything about it, to remember the fact that he already did something about it. He ended Donald Trump's multitude, dozens and dozens and dozens of executive orders to protect and secure the border. Now, you don't know this because Sean Hannity said so on Fox News. You don't know this because Bob France said it on Salem Radio. You should know this because, the Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas said it.
And I'd like to understand from you what Trump-era immigration policies have been banned, ended, reversed, and if any investigations are underway by you.
So we have rescinded so many Trump immigration policies, it would take so much time to list them.
That was September of 2021. September of 2021. So year one of the Trump presidency. Nicole Wallace of MSNBC asked Alejandro Mayorkas that question, and you heard him. We have rescinded so many of the Trump orders, it would take too much time to list them. He didn't need Congress for that. He didn't need a spending bill for that. He needed only his executive authority pen. That's all Biden needed. So when he tells you tonight during the State of the Union address that he's done all he can do, it's up to the Republicans to step up to the plate now to secure the border, you know that he is a bald-faced liar. That's the reality of it. Don in Lakewood. Hi, Don, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, Bob. Yeah, there's probably no way in hell we're going to sit there and watch that desiccated clown spout off tonight. We'll probably DVR it and catch the highlights on Jesse or Laura later. It's not worth the time, and I don't want to give them the live viewership numbers.
Good point.
So on that one, that's that. Regarding Braver Angels, we were very skeptical. We went to one meeting that Dan invited us to, and we were fearful that it was going to degenerate into a screaming match. But it is extremely well curated and moderated. You're divided up into tables, so maybe three to four red and three to four blue on the other side with a couple of independents thrown in. And you're given a sheet with bullet points that you have to stick to. So you can't go off topic. It's carefully controlled so that people don't degenerate into hateful rhetoric. And what struck me and my wife were that those on the left really do not expose themselves to conservative or alternative outlets at all. For example, there were those that didn't even know that CNN was, for example, not even carrying Trump's remarks. There was a speech he made. They weren't even carrying his remarks live at all because they were just branding it all as lies.
That's right.
And
Rachel Maddow said that. Rachel Maddow just Super Tuesday night, you know, Trump's given his victory speech there, and Rachel Maddow, they cut out of it, and she said, well, you know, we have this difficult decision to make every time as a responsible, you know, network. Should we be broadcasting known lies, right, things that we know are lies? So, you know, we make the difficult decision to, you know, to cut him off because he's unreal that they say these things. So, of course, the left doesn't actually, you know what he really says.
But our side's got to get in there and mix it up. Because if we don't get in there and mix it up, we don't get anything. And, you know, we have nothing to lose but everything is my new slogan. We have to get in there. And I wouldn't be afraid of Braver Angels. We need more Reds to come, as Dan said. It would help us out to have a showing at these meetings. And one brief thing regarding Christian nationalism. It is 100% a straw man construct, as Dr. Piper noted. There was an article by USA Today that is loaded with falsehoods that came up on the MSN homepage today, which I, for some reason, still have. I sent you a link to that USA Today article. Your jaw will drop when you read some of it. But that's what they're going to be using as weapons against us. And we have to be aware of this because education is a strong, incredibly powerful tool if used properly and if not loaded with falsehoods the way they claim education is utilized on their side. So everybody be aware and stay strong and keep up the good fight.
That's what it's about, brother. Thank you, Don. I appreciate the call. Thank you. TJ in Cleveland. Hi, TJ. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Bob. I don't know if you've seen that news flash yesterday on Fox.
Which?
New York City is bringing the National Guard in now to confront crime in the subways. Now, I've been around a long time, Bob. I have never seen the National Guard having to be called in because of crime. Yeah, riots and stuff, but not because of crime. And I'm sitting here wondering, if they end up shooting some bad guys in the subway, will this Crosby, Still, and Nash crawl out from under their rock and come out with another song like Four Dead in Ohio and Nixon's Tin Soldiers? Maybe they can come out with Four Dead in NYC with Biden's 10 soldiers. I don't think we'll see that, though.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what I'm worried about if they do something like that, are they going to end up being arrested and prosecuted? Because that's why the reason they need them is they won't allow the cops to be cops. If the cops actually exert some force down there, you know, in the subway areas, well, that's racist profiling and
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.